Welcome to the Home Health Revealed podcast, brought to you by HealthRev Partners. Join your hosts, Michael Greenlee and me, Hannah Vale, as we dive into the world of home health, hospice, and palliative care services. Each episode features real stories and insights from industry leaders covering everything from innovative technologies and payer negotiations to quality improvement and clinician safety. Whether you're a seasoned professional or new to the field, our podcast offers valuable knowledge to help you provide the best care for your patients. Tune in and be part of the conversation on Home Health Revealed.
Welcome to Home Health Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Mike Greenlee. And like always, I have the great Hannah Vale here. Hannah, it's the wonderful time of year. You know that?
It is. It's football season.
Yeah, we got Turkey Day coming up. We got football. We got college basketball. We got Christmas right around the corner. Then you got the new year. And that's a lot going on.
It really is.
Yeah. Now, are you a buyer or are you do you like to receive? You like to give?
I like to give. I'm the buyer. I already have my lists.
Yeah, I'm a giver too. I like to give. And people say I'm hard to shop for, which I disagree with. I'm pretty easy to shop for. Just get me something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm easy to buy for, but I love to make lists and like think about what other people will use. And I'd like to get them something that they can like actually enjoy.
Yes. So no gift cards. That's against the rules. I hate gift cards. I hate when I get gift cards because it's like, I don't want a gift card. I want the gift that someone thinks is cool that you would never buy for yourself. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of cool stuff out there. I've been scrolling on Instagram, find all kinds of cool stuff. And I send them over to Whitney and she doesn't do anything with them.
Oh, so she's the actual buyer. Like she's the transaction person.
She's my transaction person. I'm the one that takes all the credit.
All right. You're the idea person. I got it.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, enough about the holidays, which I do love the holidays. We have a really unique show today, you know, and we put some thought into, you know, what do we want to roll out today? And, you know, just like, you know, with the holidays coming, you know, and you get the first of the year, you know, a lot of people like to do New Year's resolutions. I don't really do those. I used to do them. I never keep up with them. I forget actually what I make. But, you know, it's also a good time to reflect back, right?
Yeah.
On how the year go, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? And, you know, one of the areas that we're going to kind of just dive into different services, of course, services we offer, but it's not designed for this to be a sales pitch. What it's really designed to do is kind of get people excited and motivated for 2025. And maybe we call this a health check or financial check of, you know, what agencies are doing and maybe what do they need to be looking at? Just maybe a closer look at. You know, because maybe sometimes they're just doing the surface level look and maybe they need to dive in a little bit deeper. So I really hope, number one, I hope this is a good show. I mean, typically they're okay. You know, I think we do pretty good, you know, but I want to make sure that we talk some really cool stuff, get some people thinking, get their minds, you know, rocking and rolling and here we go. So most people know we are a service business. We specialize in the home health, hospice, and palliative care space with services around coding and billing and revenue recovery. And you know, one of the things that you know we're very proud of and the things that really tie those services together is velocity. And so we're going to touch on services. We're also going to touch on velocity or the importance of tech-enabled stuff. And so I'm pretty jacked. What about you?
Yeah, same. I know we've been making waves with some of the innovative solutions that we have. And I just feel very proud of our team. I'm really excited to get to showcase some of this, the gift of RCM, if you will. And so I want to talk about some of the great things that we're doing, some of the services that we're being offered. And like you said, this is not in a way to, you know, boast just because it's on us, but I think it's a way for us to show the pride that we have in our team and the things that we're able to do to help people continue to get care in 2025.
Yeah, and we have our own coffee line.
We do. That I am excited, and I will boast all day about.
Yeah. So for listeners out there, we do have our own coffee brand. It's actually the best coffee in the world. I don't know much about it. Hannah does. You can email her if you want to know more about the coffee story. But outside of that, we're not going to be talking about coffee. I do want to talk about one of the biggest things that breaks my heart, but also one of the biggest challenges I see with all agencies. And that's centered around the aging AR. And every time we talk about services and particularly RCM, I always kind of beat down on the current AR because we're still are seeing, you know, customers come to us with, I would say it's a little over this number, but just to kind of keep numbers even, you know, the average aging AR over 90 days that we take over is greater than $250,000. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah. And it can be more or less depending on the size of the agency.
That's right. And so that's a big concern on, you know, really people taking time to address that. Because, really my hopes would be after someone listens to the podcast, they just pull up the current aging AR and just look at it and say, okay, what is it telling me?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if you're seeing a lot of claims past 90 days, there are companies out there, and we're one of them, that specialize in revenue recovery. And there is a big difference when I say specialize, because that word is thrown around a lot, right? Everyone specializes in something. But what I'm talking about is we have built a process that, you know, within 90 days of us handling the recovery, we're going to lower their DSO, their daily sales outstanding, by 30%. Now, that's a number, 30%, that doesn't tie into any real numbers. What I mean by that is you could go to our website and actually put in your DSO. So all you need is your net patient revenue for the year and your current aging AR, and that's going to show your DSO. Your DSO is around 75 days or greater, 70 days or greater, there's probably some room for improvement. If it's anything higher than those days, there's probably significant room for improvement, right? And that all depends on your payer mix. Our team and what a recovery, let me say what a revenue recovery team should do. First of all, it should be a team that specializes in not only Medicare, but your non-Medicare, all your other payers, with a process proven that they're going to get through all your claims, regardless of how many claims you have, in less than 90 days. Now, we say 60, but I'm just saying a revenue recovery team should be 90 days or less. Every claim should be touched with an exact status of where the claim is at and a comment of why the claim is aging this far out. Because you don't need the services completed and the revenue in. That's one step of it, and that's an important step, but you need the analytics behind why were we here in the first place. And from that, there needs to be a collaboration between either your internal team, or if you decide to outsource it, of how are we going to prevent this from happening in the future? So if anybody has revenue recovery today, a significant amount, and significant to me is over 100,000, because 100,000, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? You know what I could buy for $100,000?
Right. That's another FTE. That's a lot of growth.
That's a lot of things. But it's really important that you take time to look at it and ask yourself, how do we never get here again?
Right.
And without the analytics behind the service of the revenue recovery, you don't have that game plan. And what really should happen is the company that you hire to do that, you should be building that together, and meeting, at least weekly, if not monthly, to talk about the updates of all the claims and the status of that, because that's real money. That as of right now, you've provided services pro bono for free.
Right. And if you're somebody who are sitting at your desk, I would hit pause on this episode and pull up some of your stats so you can look at it on one screen, pull up your DSO, calculate it on the website, get your mind wrapped around it, because sometimes it's just a matter of hitting that pause button. Figuratively and literally, to say, okay, yes, how did we get here? What am I going to do to fix this? Because I don't want this to continue. So,
And, bottom line is if you need help with it, you can connect with us at connect@healthrevpartners.com and we can schedule a call. And we can, even if you don't want to have us do it, we can advise you on the steps to do it. Again, we're here to help in any capacity that we have. And I want to share a story with the listeners here. We had an agency out of Ohio that called us about a week and a half ago. And yeah. Some parts you think you hear it all, and then you have another phone call and you're like, okay, here's something I haven't heard. This agency, basically the company that was doing their billing, they charged a per bill claim. So in other words, when they bill out a claim, they charge for that. So they got paid, but yet the agency hasn't been paid yet. And this agency's aging AR continued to age because the company that they outsourced with was not getting collections. So therefore the agency couldn't pay their bills, including paying them, right? Because again, they were paying on a per bill claim, not on a percent of collections. And so they were getting paid, but he was not getting paid. And because his aging AR continued to go up because no one's working his claims, now he was put in a situation where he can't pay his bills, including the company that was doing his billing. And so what they did to him is they cut off services. They just stopped servicing him, which I understand from a business perspective, but at the same time, leadership within companies like HRP or any company that does what we do, they have to be invested and care about the customer, right? Because the way I look at that situation, if that would have happened under the services of HRP, I would have definitely looked at his aging AR and said, well, of course he can't pay his bills because we're not collecting for him. But they didn't do that. They just shut him off. So, you know, and we don't like these scenarios. It puts agencies in really bad situations, but we will tackle those. It is a very, very difficult challenge because you don't have all your access. Typically our implementation for RCM, because you know, we have a very robust implementation process, is usually 60 days, right? It can be sooner than that, but usually let's just say 60 days. Now we're taking a client on after 2 days, you know, because this guy he's losing money because no one's doing his NOAs and his NOEs. He's not getting paid and he doesn't know, you know, he's not a billing expert. And so they just basically threw him in the ocean with no life preserver, and because they're not doing their job. And these stories, when I hear them, it does irritate me because it's bad for the industry. It's bad for companies like us.
Yeah, it makes outsourcing, if people want to think about outsourcing as, you know, one collective thing, it looks bad on us as an industry and what we do and offer. But it also goes to show that all outsourcing is not the same. You want to vet and make sure you know who is working on your account, the heart of the company behind the services that they provide, the expertise that they have on their team, and the resources they have that you then have access to. Because we jumped on that call. I'll be honest, it pulled on my heartstrings. I am really glad that we have the team that we have. I know we took that very, very seriously, and we were able to help him make his next payroll.
Yeah, and this is an agency that's been in business for 10 plus years. So it's not a brand new agency that doesn't know the business, right? But you're right. It's bad for the industry as a whole. It's a challenging task for us to basically work a miracle, but that's what we're trying to do for them. But you know, you don't have access to everything you need access. You're just kind of jumping in and you're tackling it together as a team. But here's what I'd say. Last thing I'll say on aging AR, and we'll move on, is if you're going to hire a company to outsource this portion of it for you, make sure there is a specific plan around the recovery, because I have talked to many agencies as well that they hired someone for recovery, but they weren't getting any recovery dollars in, but they are paying, you know, a minimum monthly fee, and they just weren't getting the services. So don't start services unless there is a specific plan of what they're going to do. How many claims are there? How many claims are going to work per day? What are the results that we're going to get, you know, and KPIs around that. Because if you don't have, you're going to have an expectation that maybe the company is doing the services doesn't, and that's just going to get you off on the wrong foot. So make sure you have a written detailed plan of exactly how they're going to attack that aging AR and the time frame that it's going to take them in order to achieve success of lowering those aging AR.
Yep. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to bring up the advanced funding program because I think that's a great segue into the program. It's really simple. It doesn't require collateral. It's so much easier than a bank loan right now. and it allows you to have a partner in collecting your aging AR.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw the need for that. We've talked about this on previous podcasts, but it's something that I love to reiterate because a lot of people don't know about it. You know, we're working with a group called FlyChain. They're super smart guys. One went to Yale, the other guy went to Duke. So they're super smart guys. And you know, I met them at a trade show and we had this collaboration. I told them that, hey, we're starting our own advanced funding program. And so anyway, the dialogue started there, but the point of it is that the agency I just mentioned earlier, there are a lot of agencies out there that because of their AGR, they don't have a lot of capital. And, you know, I'm not a wizard when it comes to finances, right? I'm not a CFO of any sort. But I do understand that people got to have money, and I understand how banks work, and banks for the most part do not understand this business because it's a service business. Yeah. And so there's not, you can't trade in your employees if you don't make a payment, right? You don't have any fixed assets that they could go after because you got people, right? You're a service business. And so they typically won't loan you up to what you need, and they can call that loan at any time. But even if you went to a bank, or let's say you got an SBA loan or whatever the case is, that's going to solve some of your cash flow, but you still haven't solved your problem. And so what we built is two funding mechanisms. One is advanced funding. That advanced funding will loan up to 80% of your aging AR. That's collectible. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we help you get that amount because we assess the aging AR and say, okay, of this aging AR, this percentage, this dollar amount is definitely going to be collectible. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we have available that everybody should take advantage of is a line of credit up to $100,000. And this is good personally and professionally. I always tell people when they buy a house, you know, depending on what you put down, get a line of credit on your house just to have it. You don't have to use it, but it's great to have it. Same thing in business is that you need to have a line of credit to where you're basically not putting up as collateral, you know, everything you've built so hard for, because that's other things. Anytime you borrow money, especially if you're in a partnership within an agency, you both have to put up some type of collateral or guarantee. And that can be a challenge if somebody owns, you know, 70% of the business and someone owns 30%, right? This way, this is, you know, the advanced funding is another way where you don't have to do that. Right. And so it's a great way. And if we're working your aging, we're going to start getting you paid in 14 to 21 days. So you can start paying that amount off. I mean, that's the importance of getting the aging AR worked in 60 days or less, especially when you're borrowing money, is I don't want you to pay interest on money. So we're going to work really hard to get you paid. So that way you can get that loan paid off, whatever amount that you choose to borrow. It's that simple.
Exactly. So no more digging through piles of paperwork and complicated spreadsheets. HealthRev helps with those AR reports, gives you a clear real-time picture of your agency's financial performance, each claim that's been worked, why it hasn't paid, if and when it's expected to pay, and then you also have access to Velocity.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about Velocity, right? It's a good segue in there. So you talk about, we got our own coffee brand. So we always talk about Velocity. We built Velocity. Number one is there's not a lot of transparency out there today where if you're outsourcing, you know, services, either billing or coding, where you can really see what's happening, where are the charts at, where's the claims at, you know, what's the data behind. And, you know, after talking again with a lot of owners, a lot of administrators, you know, they're not in their software a lot, you know, whatever software they're using as their, you know, platform. And then for them to get data, they have to pull a bunch of different reports, merge those together, create pivot tables, or maybe there's some dashboards, but the dashboards, you know, they got some good information, but what's it really telling you? So, you know me, right? I'm about as smart as a fifth grader. I wouldn't go above that. So I like to make sure when we build stuff, it's on a fifth grade level, right? Easy to look at, easy to use, because it's, you know, when you're trying to pull reports, you could get frustrated, right? Blood pressure goes up, your day is ruined, you're throwing coffee on your partner, you know, all kinds of bad things can happen. So we built Velocity to where, you know, if you wanted to know where all your claim status is at, you can see it on one page. It's going to tell you the claim count and the dollars that are sitting there because of this one issue. That and the payers, you know, looking at DSO by payer, when our clients log into Velocity and they get comfortable with it and start using that tool and seeing the data, it has radically changed not only their internal processes, but the appreciation of those internally, mm-hmm. On what, how everybody from clinical to financial to operational all have to be on the same page. And so Velocity is really cool. And the great thing about it is, you know, we built it to be a SaaS. So you don't have to outsource services. You can just buy the platform. It's very inexpensive. It can be a tech stack to what you're already using, but it allows you to recruit better people because now you can recruit all over because you have real-time data to see how they're working. So right. you're increasing your outreach of finding talent, as well as consistently being able to wake up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and see the overall health of your organization in less than 5 minutes.
It just simplifies everything. It gives it to you right at your fingertips. So you're not having to, like you said, pull those reports and figure things out, but you can drill down. So it gives you the opportunity to see an overall picture. Again, whether you're doing it in-house and you're managing and monitoring that, or you're outsourcing, it can give you an idea of what's going on. It doesn't even have to be with HealthRev. Mm-hmm. It is the piece of your tech stack, though, that I think people cannot continue to go without. It is the missing piece. And if you don't add a performance indicator like Velocity to what you currently have, you're going to be missing out on insights and decision-making that is quicker. When we are looking at value-based care programs and things that are going to require quick decision-making that is backed with analytics, that's backed with clinical data, you cannot afford to be left in the dark with that. So yeah. I take a look at Velocity, take a look at how it could add to what you're currently doing, and think about the possibilities of how you can use it and making your life easier. I mean, things are getting more complicated, but I think we have to think about how we can streamline our own lives so that we can make quick, good decisions.
Yeah. Hey, why did we get rid of nap time? You know, we had it in kindergarten, but why did we get rid of that?
This was not in the script today. I don't know. No,
Well, we need a reset. Well, it just made me think of it when you can see everything in 5 minutes in Velocity. I was thinking to myself, you know, how long was nap time in kindergarten? Was it 30 minutes?
Yeah, but maybe you could add nap time. If you get Velocity, maybe you can gain some time back and
get nap
time.
Well, I'm just more curious on why you had it in kindergarten, why we got rid of it. I mean, we should still have nap time, I think.
Completely agree. Yeah. Implementing nap time for HealthRev.
That's what I'm thinking about.
So I want to start with the audience and go through the KPIs that we think are really important that agencies can track mm-hmm. with HealthRev solutions. And so I want to back up a little bit, start with intake
yep.
with eligibilities and authorizations.
Yep. Still a big issue, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Intake is very, it's critical. It's the start of the whole entire process. And, you know, we still see a lot of agencies that are struggling with ENA. You know, eligibility.
Well, it's one of the most difficult pieces to manage.
It really is. It's not as easy as what, you know, it's hard, right? Everything is hard, it seems like. But yeah, we built it in Velocity because again, you know, after meeting with a lot of customers, we understand that even though the EMR again has some technology, they're still using spreadsheets to track like RIAs and this and that and all the other stuff. So
heck, people are using sticky notes.
Yeah. Yeah, sticky notes.
To track eligibilities and authorization. A wind blows through and you're toast.
Can you imagine sticky notes just all over your like computer screen? You'd have to have like a 70-inch computer screen just to see your computer.
I mean, we're saying that, but there are probably people who are listening who that's still how they're managing. So, I mean, we're just trying to help give you another option.
Yeah, well, again, this is electronic. You know, if you're putting it on a spreadsheet or something else, that you're not adding any more work. It's just, it's staying in one central location where you can track and manage your eligibility and your auth. And it measures the turnaround time. So when you're thinking about, right. you know, depending on how big you are or how you continue to grow and scale, a lot of things are, how do you figure out staffing, right? Because you don't want to overstaff because that's a hard cost. Right. It can drive into margins really fast. And, you know, it's crazy that when we talk to a lot of agencies, when I say it's crazy, it's not really crazy because I found out that there's really not a lot of data behind it. But, you know, when you're asking right. agencies, well, on average, how many eligibilities and authorizations do you complete? I haven't had an agency yet today that has been able to give me those numbers. Now they can kind of guess. Yeah. So you think about that. If they can't give those numbers, how do you staff based off growth of saying, okay, if you got so many payers that need an authorization, you know, what can your team do? How many can they accomplish in a day? Is there any backlog? And at what point do you know you need to hire someone to come in to fill that spot? And with all services, there's going to be a time, you know, if you're doing everything internally, either with RCM coding or authorizations, you need to have a company like ours or somebody like ours to have a backup plan, meaning that most of the time, you know, you need a company like us just to fill a role for a couple months until it makes sense for you to hire a full-time person. So when you think about outsourcing, I also just want to say, don't be thinking that you got to do it all the time or all the services or long time. Be thinking about where your gaps are. If someone left, what would you do? If, you know, you're looking at knowing that you're growing pretty fast, you know, you maybe need a quarter, a half employee to find someone part-time that's consistent is hard to do. So that's where companies like us can be a great filler for you. Yep. That way, you know, we're aligned and we can jump in at any point in time and you're not going to skip a beat. But if you don't have a backup plan, you know, an employee leaves, you know, not all employees leave in a great way, right? Sometimes they just stop showing up. You're in trouble. And, you know, whatever you don't get done in a day, I always say it takes two more days to catch up because you got the next day's workload. And so if you go 2 days, it's going to take you double. So just be thinking about that. Do you have all your, I call them moats, right? Moats. If you have a castle, you got moats. You got protection around your castle. Typically you got the water around your castle, right? So people can't just invade your castle. I mean, look at your business as your castle, right? And you got water around, you know, protecting your castle. You know, where's their gaps or where's their cracks in the foundation that if exposed could really, really financially, you know, hurt you?
Yeah. And then communication is a big piece of that, which we've also built into that eligibility portion. And something I learned recently that I didn't know.
Oh, maybe boy. You did. I can't wait to hear this.
Profound. It is. But, you know, when we look at eligibilities and auths, and managing internal capacity, that's one way that you can use the data that we're trying to provide. But another way is when it comes to contract negotiations. I didn't realize that you can use eligibilities and auths as a negotiation piece with your contracts. And so it was a recent conversation we had with Katie Eisel. She brought up something and I had that aha moment of OCHN that E&A can be a piece of contract negotiation, especially if you have strong metrics about how difficult it is, how long it's taking to get these. These are things that Velocity can provide and you can use when you go back to show proof that you should be getting a certain dollar amount for those claims.
Yeah. So think about it this way. So I always like to simplify stuff if I can. But if you're going to get a loan, you got to have good credit. Right. Mm-hmm. And the better credit you have, the better interest you're going to get. Right. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
You know, same thing can apply towards, you know, your business. Right. If you're looking at your business and, you know, we're talking about, you know, contract negotiations. Right. The important thing about contract negotiations is that these payers, they have a lot of people coming after them for contracts. Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you think of it from a payer perspective, a payer, if I'm a payer, I'm looking and saying, okay, well, if I'm going to take on this agency, or if I'm going to negotiate, you know, different terms, either being OSS, timely filing, or, you know, payment, right? Increasing our payment. You're going to have a very good and clean AR. You mentioned KPIs. Those are your selling points. So if I was going to a bank, my selling points is I got great credit. I missed the payment and God knows how long, right? Those are things I can tout to them on why I'm a good customer for them, a safe customer for them. No different with payers, right? So if you're not getting paid what you want, if you haven't even, again, a lot of agencies, I always keep saying a lot. I should probably stop doing that. It's not a lot.
Overgeneralization.
Is that a filler word that I'm using? Filler? How about this? I've spoken to some agencies that have not had contracts renegotiated in several years.
Yeah.
I highly recommend you always kind of doing a biannual and an annual evaluation of your payers. Because if you can get someone, we use Katie Eitzel from Ohio. She's great. She's fantastic. She knows what she's doing. She's a good negotiator, but she has this the personality that she's impossible to hate, right? So that's a good trait, right? And so when she's talking with payers, she understands what they're looking for, because contract negotiation is not easy. And we don't specialize in it, because we don't specialize in it. We find people who do, right? Because we know we have customers that need that service. But if you're looking for, if you haven't done that in a while, you know, again, reach out to us. We can connect you with some great people, Katie being one of them. And we can also talk to you about, you know, a financial checkup or something like that, just to kind of get you where, wherever you need to be. But the thing about, if you can get paid more without doing more, right? Meaning that you're not seeing more patients, you're just getting paid more per patient. You can really increase your revenues quite significantly if you can get the right contract that you deserve based off, you know, the services that you're providing in the community that you're providing.
Yeah. And okay, so I'm skipping around here, but I want to push us to the next KPIs, which are around coding and OASIS review. And I want to start us with talking about the precepting partnership, because it's a very unique program and it's so needed in this industry. And as we know that staffing shortages continue, I said, or you said in your last Invisible Truth, staffing shortage has become white noise. We know it's like going on behind us all the time. We know that it continues to be an issue and it's hitting agencies. There's a nursing shortage. A lot of agencies are having to hire nurses right out of school, or they're coming in from a different line of nursing, wanting a change of life, wanting the flexibility. And we wanted them to have the support and training that they need so they can document well, because that is what we know, so that agencies are able to make care decisions and get reimbursement that they deserve. So talk about the precepting partnership.
Well, first thing about the preceptor, it's very important, I think, with all new people coming on board with any organization, is to get them off to a fast start and to create habits, successful and good habits, and not create bad habits. And when you think about someone, especially as you mentioned, people coming in this business for the first time, you know, they're coming out of school, they come into the post-acute space, you know, you think about the OASIS, that's a massive form document, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's kind of like, I always like using sports. If you're a quarterback, right? You've got a playbook and you're studying the playbook. All right. Let's say you have that thing memorized. Well, now you got to go out and you got to execute those plays, meaning timing's got to be there, right? Your team's got to be at the right spot. Everyone's got to be doing the right thing in order for that play to be successful. And you've got, as a quarterback, you got to run it successfully. Well, same thing with clinicians, right? So they get into the business. They're trained inside, you know, different agencies have different training programs, but at the end of the day, they got to go out and they got to execute, just like they got to run the plays. And, you know, just to submit the document and have someone review it, and then you go make the changes is one thing. But here's what the preceptor has been able to do, is the preceptor has been a massive game changer for new clinicians or clinicians that maybe have been set in their ways. And because the industry has changed so much, they need to kind of change the way they're doing their documentation.
They need a swift kick in the pants.
Yeah. In the britches, you know what I mean? Just give them a swift kick in the britches. You know what I'm saying? Was that was kind of hillbilly, wasn't it?
That was Ozarkian.
That was definitely not my Matthew McConaughey, but, it's one of those situations where, you know, our team, and our team's RNs duly certified, and they are skilled at talking to people, because some reviewers want to be behind the scenes. Some, you know, okay, being on the front end, but, in meeting with that clinician, so after the clinician goes, sees the patient, instead of turning in the document, they actually, our team calls them and they go through the document together. And, you know, there's nothing better than hands-on training. So, you know, and it's a compliment to what the agency has already trained them. And so now what we're doing is we're providing additional support of saying, okay, now when they're in the field running the plays, let us be the field coach, and reiterate everything you've trained them on. Let's keep it focused. And we have those programs. We have the programs, you know, set for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but we have so much flexibility in, because again, everyone learns a little bit different, and you may have hired someone that's really sharp and can pick this stuff up in 2 weeks. You don't need to do it for 8 weeks. Right. So we can be flexible with it, but I'm just saying it's been a game changer. The reason why we do it is because we have had a lot of requests for it. You know, again, staffing, you know, a lot of leadership is doing multiple roles. So to be dedicated into, you know, ensuring the success of the clinician, has it always kind of falls to the wayside, not on purpose. Not that I don't know that that's important. It's just there's so much on their plate. That's why we created the service. We're here to help in any way. We want your team to be the best. And here's what we found from the preceptor. Number one, it's been a game changer for them getting off to that fast start, which I think is critically important. Number two is we know clinicians love seeing patients. They don't like doing paperwork, let alone two or three different times, right? And so in terms of job satisfaction, in terms of recruiting, in terms of retaining, this has been a game changer for those that have taken the time to listen to it and hear about it, what it can do. It's a really unique offering, but again, that's the kind of company we are. We want to be very unique in what we're offering because we see the shortages and we see the challenges in the industry. And so companies like us need to continue to be innovative in the services that we provide to help those gaps.
One of the things that I love that we have gotten feedback on is the confidence it gives to new clinicians. I think that's a thing that maybe we didn't even anticipate, but it makes sense, right? Because it gives them the tools that they need and a peer relationship with someone on our team. So it's someone who lives this day in and day out, who can really speak to them in a way that they understand. It's that great peer connection. Mm-hmm. And then it also provides the agency confidence that their clinician is going to come out. We're turning out some of the best documenters. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. Documenters. Sure it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, why not?
They're the best in the industry. That's what we want, because we know that that's the receipt that's going to get them paid, but it also provides their job satisfaction and gives the agency the assurance that they're going to have clinicians who can go in the field, have confidence, work with the patient, document appropriately, and then we're going to code that chart, give it back, and provide data on the progress of the clinician. It's a win. I love the program.
You talked about the confidence, when that call happens pretty quickly the same day, everything's still fresh on the clinician's mind. Right.
Right.
So you think about, they're turning in the document, let's hope no more than a day and a half, 2 days go by. The document should already be done, but if it's not, you got two more days that went by that now you're trying to think about, okay, what did I do with that patient? Because you've probably seen other patients, hard to keep everything together. That's another thing. It's quick. Everything's fresh. We finish it up. All they've got to do is basically sign off on it.
Right. And then let's talk about coding. So okay. I don't know if you know this. I love to get into Velocity and look at some of the overall stats because I think they're really interesting. But what do you think is reasonable? Okay. Mm-hmm. The word is reasonable, not optimal, when it comes to coding turnaround times.
Ooh. I definitely less than 24 hours. It depends, of course it depends on, the agency and how often they're sending and stuff, but let's say everything's in sync. You should have it back within 24 hours.
Okay. And our average coding turnaround time, just to throw this out there because it's totally bragging, is 15.6 hours. And I agree with you. I'd say 22 to 24 hours is reasonable. Mm-hmm. And there are definitely, unique circumstances for why a chart may be on hold. And then you're using our internal communication notification within Velocity so that you can have quick HIPAA compliant mm-hmm. communication and get that chart back to where it needs to be. But I agree. Okay. Yeah. So if someone is not getting those turnaround times, there are implications for that too.
Well, when you think about it, companies like us have to be great at managing capacity ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Now we go a little bit deeper, or a lot deeper probably, in the data set, because we've got to know, and every agency they need to know this. Every agency needs to know this. If you're outsourcing, or if you're doing internal, or if you're looking at outsourcing, the company you go with should be able to tell you exactly the time. And should be, let's say you got 50 reviewers in house. You should be able to know exactly how long it takes each reviewer to review a chart and how many charts they can get done in a day. Because if those numbers are not solidified, that's when you get into turnaround times above the 24 or 48, whatever it may be, because they're not managing capacity. Because especially companies like us, when you got customers growing, you're bringing on new customers, it's even more important. But again, if you were to use Velocity as a SaaS, all that data is in there. And we've been able to help agencies with velocity of saying, you don't really need two more FTEs. These two right here are actually not doing the production that everyone else is doing.
Right.
But, you know, again, a lot of that data is not out there for agencies. And so, you know, if their team's saying we need another person because we're swamped, what do? They hire another person. Well, that dives into margin, right? Cuts into your margin. So another reason for velocity, another reason to make sure that if you are going to outsource, if you are outsourcing, you know, those data points, if I can arm you with anything, is good questions to ask companies that you're looking at, you know, using. Because again, you know, we may not be the right fit for everybody. There's a lot of great companies out there in our space that do these services. None of us are perfect, right? Those are important metrics to know if you're going to outsource for sure.
Another crucial metric that I want to talk about next is clean claim rate. Mm-hmm. So a clean claim rate is a very important indicator of your billing efficiency. It's calculated by dividing the number of claims that pass all edits without any manual intervention mm-hmm. by the total number of claims submitted. And we know, based on industry average, agencies should aim for a clean claim rate of 90% or higher so that they can ensure optimal reimbursement, quick administrative turnaround time. That's going to be where you're saving the most time and money.
Yeah. If I own an agency, I'd want 100% clean claim rate.
Yes. I mean, 90% is an A-, right?
Yeah. Nothing below 98%. Simply because, again, payer setup is critically important. Payer setup mm-hmm. within the EMR, making sure you have all your contracts, and then payer setup, how you're setting that payer up within, if you're using a clearinghouse, are all critically important. Yeah. And, you know, the deal is, I hear all the time that a lot of agencies, what they do is they'll bill claims knowing that they've got to fix them, right? So that's kind of double the work. So why not
just
do
it right?
You're just pushing it off. Right. Why not just do it right the first time? And so my advice to agencies out there is, you know, again, every 6 months, twice a year, you need to look at your payers to make sure they are set up correctly. Whatever clearinghouse that you're using, you know, those remits are coming in. The claims are shooting out of your EMR into the clearinghouse. Your remits are coming right back into your EMR. And that you're really looking at the data around each specific payer to figure out, okay, how do we improve the matrix behind this particular payer? But clean claim rate, as well as tracking claims that have been billed. You know, industry standard seems like people will bill a claim and maybe check on it in 30 or 45 days. I think that's crazy. You know, we're better than best practices. We say every 15 days a claim's got to be touched. To me, that's a great standard. Yes, is it a little bit more work on your team? Absolutely, but you got to get paid or you can't pay them. And you know what I mean? And so you never know when a payer is going to respond. And so 15 days is better than what most do. Most are 30, 45, whatever it is. You know, they'll say, well, these claims, they don't pay for 30 days anyway, so we're not going to check them out. Well, I don't know, man. I just don't like that attitude. I think 15 days is what it should be. And you should be able to see without a spreadsheet, dead gummit, get rid of spreadsheets, people. Say no to spreadsheets in 2025.
You know,
is that you should be able to pull up and see the history of the claim, when it was touched, what was done, and what the next steps are. We did build that into Velocity. You guys are probably thinking I said that because we built it in Velocity, and it probably is. But you know, it's an area where, again, there's not a lot of companies that do RCM very good. There's really not. And it's crazy.
Well, it's much more complicated to manage than a lot of people from the outside necessarily think.
Yeah, it's definitely not just hitting a button. I hear that a lot. Well, you guys just hitting a button. Ooh,
right.
I wish if we were just hitting a button, then you guys could do that. You know what I mean?
So I was thinking about claims and our clean claim rate yesterday, because a lot of people do bill out claims just kind of, if it pays, great. If not, I'll figure it out. And, you know, Susie J, my youngest daughter, she's 8. And yesterday she wanted to go do something after school. So rather than putting her clothes away, which she has to make her bed and put her clothes away, she didn't hang them up. She just shoved them all in a drawer to do later.
That's my girl. Yeah. Love it.
Well, my whole thing with my kids is if you don't have time to do it right the first time, then you have to make time to do it over. And I was like, man, that's a lot like filling out clean
Really?
claims. If you don't take time to do it right, then you're going to have to make time to do it over. But that compounds the work. You're having to go back into that claim, kind of wrap your mind around it again, figure out what has to be done. And you're having to pull those clothes out of that drawer, Susie J, and hang them up. And now they're wrinkly.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we talk about shield to shield all the time, right? Is
Yep.
that, in this company, as well as, and I share it with other people, is that, when you're running an agency, it doesn't matter what you're running, business, it doesn't matter. Your team's got to be shield to shield. Doesn't mean everyone's got to get along. Doesn't mean everyone's got to be Facebook friends. But what it does is when it's time to go to battle between 8 and 5 or whatever your open doors are, your team has to come together to be shield to shield, protect each other, make sure everything's being done. Because at the end of the day, and this is what a lot of people don't realize, one person in your staff, if they're not doing their job, it affects everybody within the company. It affects pay, raises, incentive bonuses, benefits, you name it. And so, if you're part of an organization and you happen to be listening to our podcast, here's my advice. Don't be that person. Take pride in what you do, regardless of what the person next to you is doing, and realize that, you've been placed with this agency for a reason. This is a season, whatever it may be, but always do your job the very best that you can do your job. And if you see people that need help, offer to help them. Be that team player. I'm telling you, it's the most valuable thing you can be, is to support an organization that you've chosen to work for. Give everything you got to that organization, and help them grow. Because if you take a different mindset, and then your partner, your person you're sitting next to takes the same mindset as you, and someone else takes it, you see where I'm going with that? So just, I mean, just be dedicated to your craft and take pride in what you do, regardless of what people are doing around you. Be the best performer you can be, because you'll get more satisfaction out of that than any compliment or anything else that you can get. That's my soapbox.
Yes, agree. I want to talk about our motto, and I think it goes along with what you're saying. Our motto at HealthRev is no claim left behind. And it's just that, right? We make sure that every claim gets touched. We know it impacts cash flow. We know that when we do it right the first time, it processes more quickly by the payers. It's not going to get rejected or denied, and it leads to faster payments and improved financial stability, for ongoing predictable revenue. So, our team does that.
And I think also too, you're an agency owner or C-level individual, really think about in 2025 putting some incentive programs together. There's nothing more motivating to I always look at staffing as you've got your top performers, and then you have your mediocre performers, and if you have anything lower than that, you get rid of them, right? But top performers and mediocre performers don't necessarily get along. Because your top performers, you continue to ask them to do more because you know they're going to get it done, which takes away the work from your mediocre performers, so they become even more mediocre. If you want to retain talent, okay, you got to create some type of incentive program that rewards your high performers. If you don't have any such program in place, I think it's going to be a challenge for you, because people want to make more money. The cost of living is the dollar continues to decline and inflation goes up, right? So you're double whammied, and your team, they've got to be able to make more money. And why not pay someone more because they're actually doing a better job through an incentive program? I'm not saying raise their hourly or raise their salary. I'm saying within what they're already being paid, give them a way where they can make more money. Because when it's tied to money, let's not get this wrong. They're working because they need money. If they were millionaires, loaded, win the lottery, they're not working for your organization. They're working because they need to, because they want the American dream. They want nice things. They want to go on vacation. They want to provide college. They want to retire, all those things, right? And it's always going to come down to money, right? And the ability to make more because you are extraordinarily great at what you do, that needs to be in place. If you don't have in place, I strongly consider you to think about putting one in place in 2025, and just watch your team grow and excel, and empower them to be excellent.
All right. Next thing I want to talk about is denial rates. So we've touched on it a little bit, but I think going a little bit deeper on how we are leveraging some advanced technology within Velocity to help agencies keep from having denials.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of ties into, payer setup. It also ties into, having the contract and understanding the contract. But, denials and rejections are things that are still going to happen, no matter how well you try to prevent it, because, these payers change rules on you, right? But staying up to speed on that, as well as having an agency process that says, okay, if something's not rejected, what's the time frame? What's the expectation for your RCM team to get in there and work that rejection? Now, is it within 24 hours? Is it same day? Is it 48 hours? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, make sure you have a KPI for that and you're holding people to that. Because it goes back to our no claim left behind. I really truly believe that the hardest thing about billing, especially when you don't have a platform that supports process-driven efficiencies, is that your RCM team is going to bill out claims, but if they don't have a way to know when they need to check on that claim again, that claim gets left behind. And then it begins to age. And then all of a sudden, 4 or 3, 4 months down the road, you're looking at your 120 bucket and you're like, holy cow, why do I have all these claims in here? Right? But that's how it happens.
And we also have strategic partnerships within our ecosystem to help with anything within that end-to-end process. And so one that comes to mind when we're talking about denials is documentation management. So whether that's a Forcura or a WorldView, and we partner with those companies, you don't necessarily have to partner with us to utilize those. They're built into several EMRs, so you may even have access to some suite of products that you may or may not know about and should look into optimizing. But when it comes to referral documentation, getting things signed, orders signed, making sure that you have the things in place to get that claim submitted with the least amount of chance that it's going to deny, utilize some of those ecosystem partnerships so that you can be more efficient and have less clicks, less time between tasks.
Yeah, if you think about it this way, we're in the business of creating predictable revenue. We're not in the business of code or of billing and collecting. We're in the business of creating predictable revenue. Now, in
Yeah, I like
order to
it.
create predictable revenue, you're talking about orders management. You're talking about unbilled. Now, this is an area that we're seeing be a massive disruption with a lot of agencies. And there we go. I said a lot again. Sorry, agencies, not a lot, but yes, it's a problem.
Some of you out
And
there.
yeah, well, and the problem is, listen, if you've got a massive unbilled, you have revenue there that no one can even touch or get to. We've brought in Forcura, we brought in WorldView, especially with clients that already was using them, and they just weren't using the systems correctly, or maybe they had some turnover, so they weren't using all the technology. So again, everybody, especially if you're running the agency or you got some type of leadership, you need to be looking at your unbilled consistently. And because listen, we again, it's a major issue. And so what's hard is that if you have a lot of unbilled and you're doing billing internally, you're paying a billing team that can't do anything because you got claims can't even go out the door. No different than us. If you have a high unbilled rate and I have a team assigned to your account, my team can't do their job because all their claims. We have one customer that we just recently wrote that had about 800 and some odd thousand in unbilled. The success story was that was they were with Procura, and we called Procura, and in less than 30 days, we got them down to a little over $200,000. That's a $600,000 change in less than 30 days.
That was
But
huge. What a
that's just
win.
Yeah, it's a great win, but again, it's more than providing the service of billing. It's making sure, and that's why we've built great partnerships, is getting all these partnerships, even being with BetterRx or WorldView or Forcura or whoever else we got out there.
Well,
But
Trella is one that's
Trella,
recent that
oh
I'm,
my gosh.
really excited about because you're combining our financial expertise with market intelligence. So you want to talk about driving growth. If you're looking to drive growth, really maximize your market, there the analytics, the data that they have is just, it's incredible. I mean, we kind of geeked out on it for a little while yesterday and thought, man, what we could do with this at an agency level if we were an owner, a, you know, a marketer, a COO at some of these agencies. So you've got so many opportunities for technology adoption to increase your efficiency without increasing your cost, or that can help drive down expenses so that you can, you know, maximize your margins. It's going to improve your referral relationships when you have this information at your fingertips. So that's just another one that I really wanted to mention for agencies who are trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah. And a big shout out to Procura, because when we called them, they, again, this is great about partnerships. Cause when we called them, they, I mean, they got such a great team out there. I mean, they jumped on it, and together, collaboratively with the client, us and them, we all worked together, and in less than 30 days that happened. So big, I mean, I love the folks at Procura. Then when you talk about Trello, I love their data. And I'm telling you, you know, listen, I don't get paid anything if you buy Trello or not buy Trello, but let me just tell you, some of that data, a lot of their data is fantastic, right? And when you're looking to grow in an agency and you want some good intel, and you want something on your competition or where some gaps, or if there's a service you're providing better that maybe you're not getting the referral count that you want. I mean, you name it. Trello is legit. They got a great team. I mean, a wholesome, high standard type company with great people that love this space. I'm telling you, if you haven't heard of Trello, which I'm sure you have, but if you haven't worked with them and you're wanting to grow your agency, I'm telling you, give those guys a call, see what they have. I hope it's for you. If it's not, no big deal. But if you haven't looked into them, I would strongly consider you doing that. If you got some really good ideas of what you want to do, or if you just want some really good data about your, you know, just everything around you and how are you ranking? There's so much data. I got to stop talking about it. There's so much data that it'll blow your mind. So definitely reach out to Trello. If you haven't reached out to those great people, they're not going to try to sell anything. They're the type of organization that are just like us. And all of our partners are just like this, where, hey, we're going to tell you what we have. And if it fits, great. If it doesn't, we understand, because many times it's not right, but we're not going to hard sell you. It's how, if we can help, and if our partners can help, they just want to consult to see if it makes sense. So don't be afraid to talk to agencies out there, you know, like a Trello or Procura or WorldView or, you know, us or whoever it is. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to do business with them. But I would tell you that if you're not meeting with companies like this that have really good solutions out there that can be a game changer for your agency, because of, you just don't want to deal with somebody, you don't want to talk to somebody, you're afraid you're going to be sold. Get rid of that head trash. That's head trash. And give them a call, because I'm telling you, wherever you're at, wherever your gaps are at, there are partners out there that can really help you and just get you to where you want to be. So I strongly recommend it.
Absolutely. And if you want to meet with HealthRev, you can contact us on our website. There's a little contact us button. It goes straight to a set of calendars. We can have you meeting with somebody as soon as today, tomorrow, and starting that conversation. It doesn't have to be a commitment, but let us sit down with you, choose a time that works for you, grab whoever you need to on your team. We'll grab our team and we can spring into action if need be. Or maybe we just, you know, give you some opinion and set you in a direction that changes the trajectory of your agency. But you can click on that button. It's free. We'll at least get you, you know, like Michael said, we're not a one size fits all model. We're definitely not, but our team will help create a plan, a roadmap, show you how to unlock some potential that maybe you didn't know you had. And then if it makes sense from there, we move forward.
Yeah, or we can even help them create KPIs. We have a lot of different, you know, calculations to help them, you know, figure out what do they need to do. And again, if you were to reach out to us and we were to talk to you and, you know, go through a bunch of different stuff, you know, there's times when I've told agencies it doesn't make sense for you to outsource.
Right.
You just need to implement these couple of things, keep it internal. You know, so yeah, we got a lot of ways that we can help. We can give you KPIs. We can help you even figure out where you need to be in staffing. There's a lot of things we can do for you. So please, you know, use us and you know, if you're getting ready to do anything, just give us a call, bounce some stuff off of us if you want to, love to hear from you. Also love to hear, you know, if you have time after listening to the podcast, if you have, maybe some recommendations on services that maybe come into your mind that, man, if this company offered this or that or whatever, hey, shoot us a message. Let us know what that service is. We'd love to hear your thoughts about whether you feel like, you know, companies like us or some of our partners can come in and really help agencies go to the next level. But, you know, I want everybody to have a great 2025. I want everyone to finish strong. I want everyone to you know, spend some time with their family, re-energize, and come out 2025 banging. And if there's a way, any way that we can help, man, I would be honored to be able to do that or be able to at least recommend somebody that can.
Yep. We want to make managing your financial health as easy as enjoying your morning cup of coffee.
There you go. You just had to throw it in there, didn't you?
I did. I couldn't help myself.
Thank you so much for tuning in this episode of Home Health Revealed. Like always, Hannah and I have the privilege of being able to share with you some information. Hope you find it valuable. I hope you have a great holiday.